Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, baby.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life beginner style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Gloria. Hi, this is Robin Misevich, one of the regular diners here at the Transformation Cafe. We welcome all our regular listeners, and if you're checking in by demand, we thank you for coming in and want to remind everybody that you can go ahead and be sending us any kind of information that you'd like at transformation-cafe.com, and we look at that on a regular basis. So if you have any questions on that or want to do any kind of updated shows, we look forward to that. And we have Mr. Jamie sitting across from me. Hey, Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
I'm excellent. This is Mr. Jamie calling from Seattle, Washington. I'm a tattoo artist by trade. I have a shop called Chromome Tattoo in Seattle, Washington. And, again, I believe I like to help people with their psychic armor.
Psychic armor. Where did you get that? The idea of psychic armor. I've never asked you that. And every time you say that when we get together, I go, you know, why do you think it's psychic armor?
Well, I think it's people who get tattooed, especially heavily. They cover themselves in these images that make them feel stronger, I believe, and makes them, well, you know, I guess you could say it that way. And some other people just get tattoos, but whatever helps them in their image and such, to each their own, of course, but it just helps them. If it helps them to get through life, then that's my job is done.
the power of a symbol.
Right.
You know? The power of a symbol, yeah. Right now, just the same thing of your name or a symbol and what people in it. Does this seem to, I know that on certain levels there's certain things that seem to be popular with tattoos. So, I mean, you've got the genre where people like skulls and all that kinds of
skulls
stuff.
Skulls are always popular.
Huh? What's popular?
Can't go wrong with a skull, that's for sure. No, skulls are
you
very
can't
popular.
Can't go wrong with a skull.
Yeah.
That should be a bumper sticker on your car.
if I had one.
You could be, you know, chrome home. You know, you can't go wrong with a skull. There you go. See?
Well,
it's a bumper sticker waiting to happen. That's exciting.
It's not for everybody, let's say.
No, you know, that's very true. That's very true. Because, yeah,
although
I mean, I would think that,
though.
Yeah, if you had something like that, you figure it's a biker dude or something like that. You know, it would be that kind of a personality,
yes.
Or a genre. Huh?
Right. Traditionally, yes. Course.
Yes, right, traditionally. But you might have this petite little thing come in and she wants to have a couple little roses with her tattoo, with her skull, huh?
Right. You could do that.
Yeah. Well,
although,
you know,
what's really popular nowadays is the Day of the Dead kind of thing with those kind of motifs, you know. And they take it a step further and I don't know. It really depends on the individual.
So are we talking about the Day of the Dead and things like that? You know, like in Mexico, the traditions of, you know, honoring the dead, they basically have skulls that they paint and all that with all the elaborate little patterns and stuff like that on them. Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what? And I was kind of bring that up how with this year with Halloween, I had the privilege of being able to go to Disneyland while they have it decorated. And they had a whole little area in Frontierland that was like that. And I really thought it was just really cool. I really appreciated that, and just because it's such a level of creativity and, you know, how they have a day to really honor their ancestors, you know?
Quite envious.
The passing of loved ones and all that.
Disneyland during Halloween, that'd be quite an event.
It is quite an event, and they really go to town. Of course, I think the centerpiece, the main thing that people go to look at is the Night Before Christmas with the Haunted Mansion.
Ooh, right.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? It's actually the only time of year that I actually really enjoy going to the Haunted Mansion. And
ooh.
One for reason, because every year they just kind of up the ante a little bit.
Oh, right.
The way that it's decorated. And have you ever gone to the Haunted Mansion?
Not in a long time.
Long time.
I can't even remember the last time I went to Disneyland, probably 10 years ago.
Okay. They have one room in there where it puts you kind of on a half circle track where you actually are moving your way through a seance.
Mm.
And they have a lady in there, and her head is inside a crystal ball.
Ooh.
And she's kind of doing this chant of, you know, ghosts and goblins, like, you know, come out, you know, I encourage you to come, and blah, blah, blah. And there's this rhyme, you know, it's this big rhyming thing that they have. And with the Nightmare Before Christmas, what's really cool with that now is they actually have, it looks like a big, elaborate, like, sphered ornament. It's suspended in the middle of the air.
The crystal globe, really cool.
Yeah. So it's this ornament, the Christmas ornament, and she's inside this crystal ornament. So it's almost like a snow globe or something.
Right.
You know, and it's a snow globe, and here she's in the middle of it doing the incantation instead. So, you know,
yeah.
I always look forward to that when I go, oh, that's a cool one, you know. So I guess that means that on a certain level that we're accepting people passing, accepting, you know, in a certain level. I mean, if you look at a lot of TV now, what is it, the Ghost Hunters, and there's like, what, 4 or 5 different shows.
Oh, ton of them.
Yeah.
Shows,
go around and look to see if they can get any kind of responses from that, you know, that thin veil. You know, like on a spiritual level, this would be a great show to actually invite somebody who actually is someone who actually speaks to people from the other side a little bit more, but that would be a good guess.
Somebody more in tune.
We'll conjure up someone from the other side. There we go. Okay. But just really interesting that they're always like, you know, trying to get little knocks and I'm trying to think of the name of that little apparatus that actually measures frequencies and things like that, where they think sometimes they'll get more. EPs, I think they call them EPs.
Where you could hear something that you didn't hear before, like electrical.
Now, well, they've got those little micro. Yeah, they've got the digital digital microphones and the recorders.
Right.
The digital recorders sometimes pick up a lot of different stuff. One time, I was flipping channels, and there's actually the show Cake Boss. Have you ever seen Cake Boss?
Sure.
Okay. So one time, Cake Boss, he was down in the basement of the place where they have their bakery, and they had a person there who was walking them, kind of facilitating through walking about, speaking to Cake Boss's dad. And so it was him and he's got a couple sisters and stuff like that. So I think all three of the siblings were there, and they were asking questions, and then they go back to the recorder, and there would be something on it, and it would be the answer to what they were talking about. It was pretty impressive. They were able to get that kind of feedback with it.
Trying to get the family recipe that went down with the grandpa there.
Went down with dad. It's like, okay, Dad, for some reason, this
recipe.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something that would be like a cannoli. Okay, this cannoli
right.
is just not the same as yours, Dad. We don't know why. I wish I could do like a good Italian New Yorker accent. Okay, anyway. But the cannoli is just not the same, Dad. We don't know what to do. Okay. Yeah, that would be a good way of being able to handle that. You know,
else,
it's quite the write-off.
Forget about it.
One way you could write off having somebody, come and do a seance so you can, you know, be able to do that. You know, actually, I heard, and I'm not sure if that's true or not, but Walt Disney was really into stuff like that. And,
very spiritual.
And they said that he would never sign any kind of major contract before he went to his astrologer, like an astrologist that would basically look at the stars and stuff. And it'd be a certain date in like a certain time period within a couple hours or something like that, that he would sign paperwork and stuff like that because it was more conducive to having everything be in alignment.
Right. Well, that sounds
really cool. I know. And he really, I guess on whatever level, he really followed that, which I think was kind of cool, but it's also kind of surprising at the same time. So I don't know. There's lots of things about Walt Disney that it would be, you know, interesting to learn about and do that. So So, well, that was quite the little sidetrack on the conversation. So how was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a great Thanksgiving?
We had a restful time and plenty of food and very small, just my wife and I and four cats.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and we enjoyed our time off.
So when you have it with just you, your wonderful, your loved, your beloved, and then your cats, do your cats get a special meal?
I don't think
they... Make sure that they get an extra thing?
Well, they look like they want to be fed more, I guess, so we give them a little... Well, we give them their own food, though, but they don't like the human
they
food.
They don't like the turkey?
No.
They don't like turkey? Oh, my
well,
gosh.
Well, you try
my
to feed them,
like,
and they...
I pull a turkey out, and they're, like, hanging on, you know, like, jumping on and, like, hanging on to their life. Looking at me like, where's mine? Okay.
The best is the turkey sandwich the next day with some mayo.
I know.
And, yeah, that's
I know. I know. Me too. I need to. I was said. I am. This is like the first year in a long time that we actually just had a small gathering as well with my family,
mm-hmm.
and I was so looking forward to the sandwich.
All right.
You know, and actually I've had about three or four of them, and it's been really good. It has been really good, you know. And instead of the mayo, I made like some hidden ranch dry dressing. When you mix that with some mayonnaise and a little bit of onion, celery, a little bit of maybe some red peppers in there. Whew, you know, there you go. Throw that, slap that on a piece of bread with your turkey and maybe a. I was really good. I put some spinach on there, some spinach leaves. So there you go.
Right.
It's been very tasty. Very tasty. Get my little turkey fix. So life is good. Because that's
and
really a bummer
you
when you go to somebody
a,
else's.
What's your Christmas dinner going to be?
I don't know. I
haven't thought about
that.
It, huh? Mm-hmm.
Well, traditionally with my family, it's always been like a big pan of lasagna.
Ooh. That's different.
But my daughter's really funny because it just seems like, because with my family, we always usually get together like Christmas Eve. So Christmas
right.
Day is pretty much just a get up, open presents and stuff, and I usually make a really nice breakfast. Breakfast
well,
to me, that's
I,
just
I,
more
I,
like the meal is breakfast. It's not necessarily later on in the day, although,
right.
you know, we might make something nice. But it seems like in the past few years, we just go out for Chinese.
Oh, yeah. Well, why not? Else
we go to a movie. We go to a movie, and we have Chinese
right.
food later in the day.
Right.
And all of her friends are like, are you Jewish? She's like, no, I'm not Jewish, but that's what my family does. You know? And they're like, oh, well, that's kind of strange. And then she thinks about it, which actually goes, actually, it's always really nice when we do that. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm not cooking. I like that, too. You know, and Chinese
right.
food is always a great deal. It's not like you've got, it's not a heavy meal, and it's always, you know, you're hungry 2 hours.
And you don't have to clean up afterwards, either.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes it nice. And I always look forward to going to see a good movie. Went to go see Hugo.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, Hugo, without giving it too much away for any of our listeners, is about this boy who actually, he's living in the gear areas of a railway station. So all the ways that, you know, all the clocks and everything work.
I heard it was quite very visual, and it was 3D, right?
It's 3D. You have the option of going to 3D or 2D, and I really, it's one of those movies that I really recommend spending the extra money to go see it in 3D.
Because it was made to be in 3D, I imagine, right?
It was made to be in 3D, and Scorsese just does this really wonderful job of immersing you into that whole thing, because what you know, it was. I really the first 5 minutes were really brilliant because it's got all these different characters that you're interacting with in this train station, and automatically you're starting to know all these characters.
It's a bit of a. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say within the first 5 minutes, you really kind of have a sense that who the main characters are and how they're interacting with each other on a certain level, and then you know what Hugo's about and the fact that he's. You know, just this kid who observes life and sees things from a different perspective.
It's quite a departure for Scorsese because animated, for one, and it's kind of not a family movie, but it's not like Taxi Driver or Mean Streets.
Well, see,
or...
that's one thing, too. Is like he's got kids. I actually saw an interview with him before I went to go see the movie, and his kids were complaining because they're like, how come we can never go see your movies, Dad?
Right.
So he wanted to make something that his kids could go to see. And he did a really, he did a fabulous job. He really did. It's just a great movie. And, you know, it's the characters and it has a couple, you know, twists in the storyline for focus and what they're doing and why they do that. And that sounds really mysterious. And with the trailer, it has a mechanical boy that's a part of it that pulls everybody together, of course, who pulls everybody together. And it's just a really great movie. It was interesting because we took our daughters to go see it, and my younger one, Kate, was like, all right, I'll go, you know. She's like, everybody else is going, and it's like the thing we're doing. And she was the one who got the most out of it.
Oh, that's good.
Because the trailers didn't really give her a sense of what she was going to see. But when she got involved in it, it's like the last 20 minutes, just out of the sweetness of how everything was turning out, she was tearing up and crying and just really involved in the movie. Yeah, not that it's sad. It's just very thoughtful. It's very thoughtful the way it all gets tied together at the end. So it was very, very cool. Very, very cool. And like I said, Scorsese does a really neat job of, you know, immersing you into, I think it's the early 1900s in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to get a taste of that and all that. And so it was funny.
Lots of mechanical things, right?
Right. That whole, well, it's the industrial age, you know, the whole sense of the industrial age and getting into all that kinds of stuff. And the Hugo is, it's based right after the war. And Hugo's character is actually the son of a watchmaker.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of his thing is one reason he gets involved, connected to the dolls from his dad and on being somebody who can really good at being able to tinker and keep things going and fixed and things like that. And there's actually a couple really profound messages within the movie. One of the things that Hugo says is that, you know, we're all parts of the greater machine, be it, you know, like the world, and that all of us play a part in that, and that, you know, without us, it wouldn't run the way it's supposed to. It's like when think of a well-made clock that has all these little gears and stuff that it needs to be able to work properly. That's what we're all about. We're all little components with that are necessary.
You are correct.
I thought that was a nice sentiment. I was like, yes, we all matter, and we're all, you know, a part of the bigger flow of things. It's all good. Because I want to go to, you know, like Lion King or something like that. Okay.
Oh.
You know, not the secret of life, it's the, I can't think of what they call that. Anyway, the big
the
song
Lion?
That they have in,
oh,
in Lion King, yeah.
Right, you know, I haven't seen that.
You haven't seen Lion King?
No, I don't. I haven't seen that.
Oh,
I'm
my goodness, you have to go see Lion King. That's like a, you know,
I know,
an icon
kind of classic.
Yeah, you'll cry. You're like,
well, I still haven't seen E.T. yet.
You haven't seen E.T.? Oh, my
no,
goodness.
No, not the whole movie.
How about Star Wars?
Oh, of course.
Well, you know what? I know somebody who's never seen any of the Star Wars.
Really?
And I'm thinking, yeah. And one of the girls that I work with, she's never seen any of the Star Wars. And I'm like, how could you? I'm trying to envision the way that your perspective of the world would be if you've never seen a Star Wars, because it just sets you up for such a level of understanding, especially on a level of for like the electronic age. You know what
as
I mean?
I
just on a
right.
philosophical level, you know.
As I recall, I thought we went to see Star Wars when it came out, didn't we?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
You're
that
right.
was about 77 though.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is your favorite Star Wars?
Probably The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, me too.
Me too.
That's my favorite. Well, just the way that they portrayed because it just had such a different pace to it, and it had a more of a mature level to it. The way that
right.
it just
and
went to
then,
you know,
you've
got two different things going
was,
on simultaneously, and
right.
you've got Yoda training. You know, Luke and then, you know, all the different stuff going on with different levels of the characters. Because once the characters were involved, you were just like, yeah, okay, now we got some meat here. Let's go.
Right. I have to admit, when he reissued the movies, he changed them. He
you know, and
them.
Now they're going to have the whole thing coming back out again in 3D.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, really? Well, that's another way of making money with it.
Well, of course. I mean,
so, but all the hardcore Star Wars carrot fans are like, yeah, I want to see it in 3D. Okay.
True.
But,
that's,
you know,
true. Very true.
Yeah, that is true. But it was it's not, it's, if you look at the prequel and the way they have the whole thing set up, because the original one that came out was number 4. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Not correct.
So I think it's either... I think it's the third one in the whole thing. Is that the one where they have Yoda and he's fighting all those guys with his laser?
He's like a little pinball bouncing around there, isn't he?
Oh my gosh, that was awesome! The way, you know, we're just so and I was thinking about that. Just the level of being able to watch something on a with a computer animation nowadays, and you know, just our level of imagination and manifestation and looking at that. And having it be something that really shows a level of, if you can imagine it, it's just like Avatar. Did you see Avatar?
No, I haven't seen Avatar.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there you go.
I know.
Because Avatar
I'm
was...
I'm pretty damn, I know.
No, it's Avatar's really such a profound movie for the fact that with the technology...
Oh,
I'm trying to think of the guy's name, Cameron.
That's
when
incredible.
Cameron had... Right. When Cameron had this vision of doing the movie, he knew he had to wait until the technology could catch up with what he wanted to do, and now they have these whole studios that are just green screened.
I think even
he
had to develop new technology and different ways of describing effects he wanted to do. And he had to wait for the technology to catch up. But he is quite creative.
Too, I know it's... Yeah, with Avatar, what was really cool is, like, he was using a lot of universities in the Southern California area, because, like, here at Riverside, California, where Robin has flowers for you, there we go.
Right.
What was so cool was that the UCR Botanical Gardens, one of the ladies that's one of the botanists there, she was very instrumental in developing what the planet would look like. And what was actually, depending on the, like, the jungles and everything else, how the plants would actually be something that could exist from what they know on how things work. So that's
right.
Really cool that level of thought was put into something. It wasn't like, oh, let's just create this cool plant that would do this or that or whatever. Because they really go into that on a certain level when he becomes the Avatar and he's actually down on the planet with the, you know, the beings that live there. Because you've got two different perspectives with Avatar. You've got the people from Earth who have to wear their suits to be able to survive there because the air is different. But when this guy becomes an Avatar, he can just run around and all that kinds of stuff. So it's very cool. It's just giving you a different perspective
too, right?
And everything. Yeah, he meets this girl. Who's, of course, she's always it's always the princess. It's always the daughter of
the
king or chief or whatever. She's the daughter of the chief and kick fucking take names, you know. And he's like, yeah, she's my girl. You know how that goes. Okay. So it's, you know, it's always the same kind of story, which I think is interesting. But just, you know, they fly around on animals and just the different animals and stuff that they do is very interesting. So it's got a lot of different levels to it about appreciating the planet and stuff. Go ahead.
Traditionally, your Christmas movies were like maybe between Thanksgiving and Christmas, The Wizard of Oz. That was on every year. When you were little, you must have seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe Christmas Story.
Well, it's just like I don't know why, but I always go around and I, you know, whether I'm in the grocery store or just at, you know, dealing with checkers and tellers and just different people, customers who come in my shop, and I said, how was your Thanksgiving? And, you know, everybody's all, you know, the thing this year seemed to be the same. Everybody's just said, I had a smaller gathering, but we had a really good time, and it was just really good quality time, and, you know, I got my little food and my food baby, and they were, I ate a whole lot. Took a great nap and just had a nice day. So that's really cool to hear people and stuff. But people were saying, and then we sat down and we watched It's a Great Life. You know, that's one of the typical ones. Or the other one is White Christmas.
I mean, It's a Wonderful Life, right?
Wonderful Life. Yeah, It's a Wonderful Life.
That is
or
most
White
definitely.
Christmas and things like that. Some of those, you know. And I thought, oh, yeah, I haven't watched that in a couple of years. And I was like, yeah, I need to get online, you know. So the cool thing now is you go to YouTube and just watch it. You don't have to wait for nothing. I just love YouTube. I think it's so cool. Just all these different things that are available nowadays with people, you know, whether it's, you know, somebody who has their own channel or whatever they're doing, and just thinking that's really cool. With
quite
it, it's so creative
that's
and stuff.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Paraman and his, he's doing very well
yeah.
with that.
Well, and now he's like with that one ventriloquist, I can't think of his name, Jeff Dunham. He's with Jeff Dunham.
Dunham, right.
Right, right. So I saw a biology, what was it, the biography
biography
channel.
Mm-hmm.
They had like two different, they had 2 hours on Jeff Dunham the other day, which were really interesting.
Wow.
But how he started out, you know, and his whole history and things like that, and some of the trials and tribulations of, you know, him coming to a different level of, because ventriloquism has always been like a second-rate talent.
Well,
really thought
been,
about a level of being a comedian and also
right.
having a character that you do.
Right.
And
well,
Jeff had to kind
of
bypass that. Yeah.
Very famous ventriloquist from Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
Sherry Lewis and
mm-hmm.
Lamb Chop. And
mm-hmm.
Paul Winchell and
mm-hmm.
Jerry Mahoney. I think that's from
mm-hmm.
the Southern California area there.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's just taking it to a totally different level. And one thing I don't think a lot of people know about Jeff Dunham is, you know, he actually creates all of his dummies.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a studio and he creates it from the clay up. And he was showing how he just got the new thing that it's one of those laser scanners that actually makes stuff into 3D.
Right. Boy, that's incredible.
Yeah, so before he was doing molds and things like that, and now he can do it through a 3D thing that'll generate it. That's pretty cool.
He is quite popular,
and, you know, I don't know, he had his newest character come out that was from, what's the other one? The bomber, the suicide bomber.
Yeah, that's a little creepy, but...
well,
I
now he has a son. Huh?
Oh, I haven't seen that. Oh.
Oh, yeah,
out.
You'll have to watch that one. He's got his son now that by the end of the show you get to meet the son. So there you go.
Ooh. I still like Peanut, though. That's the little blue guy.
Well, you know, he said Peanut since he was in college. He started him in college. He just kind of came up with him one day, and it's kind of an alter ego that he can, you know, banter back and forth with that and tease and do all different kinds of wonderful stuff with Peanut. Peanut's, you know, and Walter. Walter, he said,
I've seen people on the bus like Walter.
Yeah, well, everybody knows a Walter.
Right.
And sometime of your life you know Walter. And how he developed Walter
was
one night.
Too.
Yeah, one night he was watching Johnny Carson and Betty, what's her name? Oh, gosh, Betty. I'm trying to think of her last name. Well-known
Betty
actress
White?
When she was older. No, not Betty White. She was
Betty. Hmm.
Oh, gosh, I can't think of her name. It's going to bug me now. But anyway, she was on a Carson show, you know, the Carson show. And
right.
she came on there and she just said what she wanted to say, and she didn't give a hoot of all that. And when Jeff Dunham saw that, he says, oh, I'm going to make a character from her.
So are there any new people coming on in the future here we need to discuss?
Well, we're
going to
definitely have to get somebody who's a medium who talks to people from the other side, since we had that conversation about that whole thing. I think that's
right.
going to be an interesting conversation on that. Miss Marvine, well, we're planning on having her on next week. So we've been doing a couple talking about a couple different things that we can be having stuff like that. So I think getting into the Christmas season and looking for ways of setting intentions for the new year, we'll be focusing on that for the next show. So we're down to our last like 40 seconds here, so we want to thank everybody who's checked in. And again, just reminding everybody, you can go to our website if you have any questions or have any ideas for shows. We look forward to talking to you. And thank you, Mr. Jamie, for letting us have a little visit with you. And we'll see you next time at the Transformation
Cafe.
No
problem. Take care.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio, Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time.